may have known that once a year, pastors from Tillamook County, Lincoln County, and Clatsop County get together for a prayer conference. This last week was the week, and we suffered at Cannon Beach in this beautiful, what a wonderful week it was, right? Beautiful, had a lot of sunshine and just great times. Hopefully you've had a great time with the Lord this week. I know I did. As a matter of fact, it's probably I've been here at this church for 28 years, and I've probably missed a few, so I've probably 23 to 25 times I've gone to the Cannon Beach Conference Center for this prayer time. And this week was probably the most rewarding that I've ever experienced. And so praise the Lord for that. Yeah, fantastic. And this morning I want to share with you some things that I had. So I've been preaching on receiving God's blessings. I had prepared a message. Actually, it's a two-part message on what can stop the flow of God's blessings. You need to know that. However, that's not what the Lord led me to preach on this morning. Last night, he directed me in a different way, and so we're going to be addressing what I feel is very critical to the heart of the Lord, things that's very dear to his heart, and I want to share that with you this morning. It's going to be kind of a vision for our church, not a new vision, just maybe just more of the same. Today, Father wants you to understand that we're in a state of emergency. We have a state of emergency in our nation. We have a state of emergency in our churches. And there's a state of emergency with our children. And, you know, you're familiar with the state of emergency we have in our schools, what has been promoted and taught in our school system. But I do want you to know that our school board here in Tillamook is taking some steps. I don't know if you were able to go or read the minutes, but they are standing against the critical race theory that has been promoted, and they're taking steps in that direction. I praise the Lord for that. And I feel like, and so I pray for our school board, and particularly pray for Kurt Shelley, who's the superintendent of education, because he's the one who's going to catch the flack. Okay, he's going to get the emails. He's going to get the phone calls. He's going to get the other letters that are going to, and he's taking a hard line and a stand. He is a believer in Jesus Christ, and so pray for him. He's going to catch a lot of flack, and so just pray for him. It's interesting that those who promote these ideologies are few, but they've got the loudest voices. If you have an opportunity to write the school board and just encourage them, I would just hope you would do that. But you may not be aware of it. But even before our children get in elementary school, they're already exposed to what's taking place in our world and trying to convert them into transgender, trying to make a boy a girl and girl a boy or whatever. So this message is to parents, it's a message to our church. But if you allow your child an iPad, a tablet, or a phone to be their babysitter every day, TikTok, which is a platform designed for children and for teens, every day TikTok is trying to encourage behavior that's contrary to God's will. Every day, every day, every day, every day. And by the time they get in elementary school, they're already indoctrinated with these ideas. So parents, I want to encourage you to not allow these platforms to be your children's babysitters. And I know that there may be some listening. There are not a lot of, we have some children in the back, but I want you to be careful Because the enemy is out to steal the minds of our children. This message will probably not be on the web page very long. So if you want to listen to it again, you'll probably have to get to our web page and hear it again, because we've already had one message deleted from our arsenal. And so this one will probably be deleted too, because of the powers that be, because this is not going to go conform to what the world has would have us to believe. So the truth is, our children are under spiritual attack. And the enemy is trying to destroy their minds. This is nothing more than a satanic attack against our children. And it grieves the father's heart that this is taking place. You see, before the world ever began, God decided that he wanted to make man in his image, the Imago Dei. And so if you look with me in Genesis chapter 26, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 26, we find this passage of scripture, and the enemy is trying to do everything he can to destroy the image of God in the heart and lives of our children. And God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So God said, let us make man in our image. So who is he talking to? Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father. They were the only three at one time. And I guess they got kind of lonely. And they said, you know what? We need more fellowship with others. And so let's make man in our image so that we can have fellowship with them. Now, he didn't say that about animals. He didn't say that about a cow. He didn't say that about a pig. He didn't say that about an ant. He said that about human beings. He said, let us make mankind, human beings, in our image after our likeness. Now, he did that for the purpose of fellowship. He did that for the purpose of relationship. He also said, let us make human beings in our image. In our image. At the Imago Dei. It's hard to fellowship with something that's not like you. Okay? It would be hard to fellowship with a dog. I know a lot of you have dogs. Okay, you enjoy dogs, but there's something you're just not, and you enjoy petting them, and you like the lick in your face and all of that stuff. However, there's something different about having a pet and having a person that you can fellowship with and enjoy things with. Anyway, I won't go any further with that. So he says, I want us to make human beings in our image, image bearer. And then he tells them, so was it the male or the female that he made in his image? The what? Let's read it again. It says, so God created human beings, So verse 27, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. male and female, he created them. So who was the male or the female that was created in God's image? Okay. It was both and. It was not either or. Okay? So the attributes of God are displayed in men and women. The attributes of God. Now, men and women are different. We think differently. We do things differently. We're made up emotionally different. We are different in every way. And God said, in order for me to display who I am, then I have to have the male and the female to display that image. Okay. That's right. One couldn't hold it all. It had to take both of them, male and female. He created them. So the next thing he says to them, he says, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Let me ask you a question. Can two males be fruitful and multiply? Can two females be fruitful and multiply? It's not possible. That's not the way God designed it. He designed male and female so that both of them coming together could fulfill what he has commanded them to do, is be fruitful and multiply. So that's God's order. That's God's plan. That's not my plan. That's his plan. And God assigned your gender at birth. God assigned your gender at birth. He did that. You may not like it. You may say, well, I'm a guy and I don't want to be a guy. I want to be a gal. Or I'm a gal. I don't want to be a gal. I want to be a guy. Well, you know what? Your fight is not with me. Your fight is with God, because he's the one who assigned you your gender at birth. If you don't like it, talk to him about it. But I doubt he'll change it. Okay? I doubt he'll change it. And the problem is there are a lot of people who feel like they want to be something else. But when you do that, you're going to be fighting against God. And I've never known one person that fights against God that wins. Not one person fights against God and wins. You're always going to be the loser. You're always going to be the loser. I'm concerned about, not so much about my children, because they're pretty healthy. And not so much about my grandchildren. They're pretty healthy. But what about my great-grandchildren? My children after them and the children after them. What about them? Somehow, we have to stop the leak. Somehow, we have to plug the hole. Somehow, we have to face this agenda and do something about it. Well, we may not be very large, but I guarantee you, we're powerful with the Lord. I guarantee you that. There was a pastor in Canada a few weeks ago who was arrested for preaching a similar message. And he was not hating on the LGBTQ, and I'm not hating on them. I want you to understand that. I hate what they do. I hate the agenda that they put forth, and I hate the mind control that they're trying to implement in our children. I don't know if you're aware of it. I read an article. It's been months ago now. But there was a truple in California who adopted a child. Do you know what a truple is? It's three men. So a couple is, we'll just say homosexual couple is a man and a man who are pretending to be married. Okay. Or a woman and a woman who's pretending to be married. A truple is three of them pretending to be married. And so the courts awarded this truple the adoption of this young boy. What a messed up world we're living in. What a messed up world. Listen to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 28. And I'm going to read it slow because you need to get this. But God shows in his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth, the sky, through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that they should never, that should never be done. So according to this passage of scripture, when a culture decides to indulge in sexual activities that's not permitted by God, sexual relations outside of marriage, idolatry, lesbianism, and homosexual relationships, then Father turns them over to a foolish mind. In the King James Version, it says a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means cast away. How would you like to have your mind cast away? Reprobate mind means rejected and worthless. God says, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. Basically what he's saying, because you have rejected me, because you have cast me away, because you have said I'm worthless, that's what you're going to receive in your mind is cast away, worthless, rejected, thoughts that are rejected. That is the condemnation. That is the penalty for saying there is no God or saying I'm going to worship myself. And actually, this ideology is a self-worship rather than a God worship. That's exactly what it is. And that's what is being presented to our children and presented to our culture. And our culture is swallowing it like the whale swallowed Jonah. And the problem is, not only does it affect the person who goes down this road, but it affects all of society. You are affected. I'm affected by the decisions that our society is making. But more so, we're pretty much set in our mind about what we believe, where we're going, what we're doing. We're pretty much set because we understand what God's word says. But there's a lot of children who are not understanding that. So the truth is, Satan is stealing our children from us. That's the truth. So what can we do? Number one, I need you to pray for the children. Pray for the children. The second thing, parents, don't let your phone, your iPad, the tablet become the babysitter. You, as parents, are responsible to God and to your children to protect them from these mind-bending messages. Also, who are your children's friends? Who are influencing them? Who's influencing them to, in the ways of the world? Who are they learning from? Who do they hang out with? What are they discussing? Now, you'll never be able to. When I was a kid, my dad was a preacher. Grew up in a godly home, but I got away with a lot of things. Okay? But when I did, there was something that went off in my spirit that told me I was doing wrong. Hey, you're not going to be able to protect your children, and I would not say try to control them. That's going to do a lot of damage as well. But do the best you can to teach them. Do the best you can to protect them. And then when they get off on their own, let the Holy Spirit do His job. Okay? Allow the Holy Spirit to convict them. But you have a responsibility to teach right and wrong. So you tell your kid, I don't want you looking at that platform. It's wrong. This is the reason it's wrong. And you share with them the knowledge that God has given you about that platform. If you go down this road, it's going to be really difficult for you. And let's just say they sneak away and they start looking at that platform. Guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to bring conviction on their heart. That's His job. But if we never teach them truth, they're never going to receive truth. Parents, it's your responsibility to teach truth. What can we do? I want you to look around this congregation. So, except for Xavier and the children that are with him, they don't come very often. How many children do we have in our church? On a normal basis, how many children do we have in our church? Two? Sometimes. Not many. Three, when Nancy and Rick bring their grandchildren. There's three. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this out loud. And I'll tell you how old I am. I'm 64 years old. Okay, I know I look a lot younger. But, yeah. And, you know, I guess Justin and Kristen are and then Chris and Vanessa, younger. But most of us are kind of old. So what's our church going to be in 15 years? I'll be, you know, if I live that long, I'll be like, old. So if we don't do something now, this church will not be here in 15 years, maybe in 10. Okay? So this is, so at last December, we put in our budget. We're thinking we need a youth minister. But what if we decided to get a children's minister instead? Someone who has a dynamic personality who can draw the kids in. And what if instead of putting our money into the, and here's the thing. because of the TikTok and things and these platforms, I was told this week that half the children in Oregon are contemplating sex change gender. By the time they get in high school, and sometimes junior high school, they've already have their minds made up. And unless the Lord does a mighty work in their heart, there's no changing their minds. So here's what I'm proposing, that rather than looking for a youth minister, let's look for a children's minister. Because if we don't get them when they're kiddos, when their minds are still absorbing new things and taking, they're gonna be lost by the time they get to junior high and high school. My heart goes out, and you know, we started the school for this very reason, because my heart goes out to these children. They're being indoctrinated, they're being taught some things that ought not be taught. But what if we started younger? And what if we started youth ministry, I'm sorry, children's ministry? You know, Matt's doing a great job with the youth. Laura's doing a good job with, great job with the youth. What if we invested in the children rather than the youth? Here's another thought. Did you know it's hard to find housing in Tillamook? You know, we have two houses. And what if we, instead of paying the salary, we were thinking, what if we just gave them a house to live in, to, you know, maybe this house over here until we get ready to build our building. But here's the thing, you know, we've been talking about building a building, we're raising money to build a building, but if we don't have children, we're going to have a big building with nobody coming. And I know I'm throwing a lot out to you this morning, but I really feel like this is the heart of the Savior, because he's concerned about the children. You know, there was a time some years ago, it's probably been 8 or 10 years ago, and Miss Carolyn remembers it, Chris remembers this, Justin and Kristen. We had a sports camp up here at the junior high school, and we would have 150 kids at sports camp. But we didn't have the workers with our children after they came to know Christ, and many came to know Christ, prayed to receive Christ, but we didn't have the workers to tend to the children once they came. Did you know children can be messy? So here's the deal. When we get this children's minister, she or he are not going to be able to do it themselves. It's going to take every one of us working with this person. And I know, like I said, I'm getting kind of old, but I still like kids. Okay? But until we get some younger families in here who's able to take on some of those responsibilities, the responsibility is going to fall on us. Okay? So just kind of let you know that. And we could, you know, we could start now, but if you will begin praying for God's person for this ministry, because it's going to be a ministry. It's not going to be just a playtime. It's going to be a ministry. You pray for God's prayer. I already have somebody in mind that I think would be fantastic, but I haven't connected with them yet, because I wanted to present this to you as a congregation first. But I guarantee you, if we don't do something regarding our children, and there's a lot that needs to be done. When you talk about bringing children in from a world view, who has world concepts, and trying to reform their brain. We're talking about work. Okay. And so I'm just presenting this to you because when we go this direction, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you to step up in these areas. And that is not discounting anyone that's already working in those areas. Not at all. Okay. They're doing a fantastic job. They're doing a wonderful job. And I appreciate you so very, very, very much. But we can do more. We can do more. Really quick, I'll close with this. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 9. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him a watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, or the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. You know, I read that passage of scripture, and I wonder how many people's bloods are on my hand. Blood is on my hand. How many people did God give me the opportunity to share Christ with and I didn't share, and their blood is required at my hand? I did not warn them. You know, when I read this passage of scripture, I'm reminded of a young 4-year-old child. Cynthia and I were living in a low-income apartment similar to these back here. And we had a ministry in those apartments, and that's the reason God sent us there. And so we began sharing Christ with the manager and the children. The manager came to know Christ. The manager's children came to know Christ. And so I went to work. The next day I came down, and the manager's children had about 10 other children at my door to share Christ with them. Okay. I didn't know you could do it all at one time. I thought you had do it one at a time. So, I mean, that's the way I was taught. So I'd bring one in, share Christ, bring another one in, share Christ, and they would receive Christ. But this 4-year-old came in. And so I explained to him what sin was. And I said, have you ever sinned? And tears started trickling down his face. And he said, I lied to my mother. And you know, in my head, I thought, he's too young. He's too young to receive Christ. He's too young to understand. And so I did not share Christ with him. I still pray for him. I don't know where he is. But I look back and his blood, unless he's received Christ now, his blood is going to be required at my hands. I don't want that for our church. He has set us a watchman. I believe over these children, we've got it. I don't know how many children. Nancy, do you know how many children are in school? Yeah, East School? 200? What about the junior high? Okay. So we have, you know, 400 to 500 kids that pass by here every day. Can we be their watchmen? Can we be their watchmen? Can we be their watchmen? This is breaking the Lord. And we have to do all we can. We have to invest in these kids. We have to. We have to. We don't have a choice. We have to. And today, if you're here without Christ, I'm going to be a watchman. And I want to share with you that Christ loves you. Jesus died for you to take away your sins. And if you will confess your sins, repent, turn to Him, and ask Jesus to come into your heart, you will become a child of God's. It's that simple. It's hard sometimes to turn away and say, you know what, I'm not going that direction anymore. But the message is simple. It's not what you can do. It's what Christ has already done. So if you're here today without Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Just say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I'm turning from my sins, and I'm trusting Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen.